Well, there are many different elements to the Christmas story, but I'd like to bring a brief reflection now on the shepherds, on the shepherds. We've seen them already in our Bible readings this evening, and we've sung about them too. The shepherds have a significant role in the Christmas story. What is it? These shepherds are the first human witnesses of Jesus' birth. Beaten only by the angels, they are the first witnesses to Jesus' birth. What does that mean, though, to be a witness to Jesus' birth? Well, it doesn't mean that the shepherds witnessed Jesus being born. They weren't there at the moment he came into the world, something I'm sure Mary was quite glad of, not having a bunch of shepherds there. Instead, what it means is that the shepherds saw that Jesus had been born, and then they became witnesses of that event. They were told that Jesus had been born, they went and saw him, and then they were witnesses to his birth. Read with me again from Luke chapter 2, verse 17. The words will appear on the screen behind me. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him, what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. The shepherds were witnesses. They told others, and they lived differently because of what they had seen and heard. All this Christmas stuff can sometimes seem like an awful lot for just a baby, though. I mean, we do lots to celebrate babies. We have gender reveals and baby showers and 100-day celebrations. And we're witnesses to birth, too. If we know people who have given birth, we tell our friends and family that they have a child. But this birth goes even further. Here we have an angelic announcement. And here we have total strangers going to see Jesus and then telling others about him. You and I get excited over births, but rarely do we get excited over strangers' births. I think I would be given rude treatment if I went to Concord Hospital, walked into the first room I found in the maternity ward, and started congratulating them on their birth. I don't know if I'd be very welcome. So what's special here? Well, this isn't just any birth. This is the birth of the Savior. Look at how the angel announces the birth in verse 10. I bring you good news that will cause joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Jesus is no ordinary baby. He is the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior. Everybody needs a Savior. We might not like to think about it. We might like to believe that we're independent, autonomous, in control of our own destiny. But that's not the case. These last few years have shown us that very clearly. But I think it was something we knew even before the pandemic hit. I wonder if that's one of the reasons why superhero movies do so well at the box office. We long to escape to a world where we can be saved. We long to escape to a world where we can be saved. Jesus' birth means that we don't need to escape to that world. We live in that world. Jesus' birth means that this world is a world in which we can be saved. And not just his birth, but his life, his death, and his resurrection too. You see, at Christmas, we remember how God himself came into the world as a baby, as Jesus. And he came into the world because there was a problem. Things are not the way they should be in the world. We can tell that when we look at the things around us, when we read the news, even just by feeling things we do in our lives. Violence, sickness, loneliness, hurt. We know these things aren't right. But these things are all just symptoms of our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is that our relationship with God has been broken. Our relationship with God, the God who made us, is broken. It's broken because at some point in our lives, all of us have rejected God. We've broken our relationship with God by rejecting him. But we can't fix our relationship with God. It's broken, but we can't fix it. We can do all the good things in the world. We can be the nicest person, even to the most annoying people. We can give all our money to charity. But our relationship with God is already broken, and none of these things are going to fix it. Only God can fix our relationship with Him. The catch is that God can't just forget the wrong things that we've done, the times that we've rejected Him. I mean, that wouldn't be very fair. A wrong has been done, and so the price has to be paid. Justice must be served. And the price of rejecting God is eternal separation from Him and all He is, all His goodness and His love. So what are we to do? Well, instead of making us pay the price, God chooses to pay the price Himself. That's why He sent His Son Jesus into the world, like we remember at Christmas. Jesus came to the world, and unlike us, He never rejected God. He never broke His relationship with God. Jesus lived a perfect life, and so didn't have to pay a price. But Jesus chose to be a sacrifice and pay the price for us, for everybody else's rejection of God, for your rejection of God, for my rejection of God. Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect man, chose to pay the price for our rejection of God. So He died on a cross. Being God, though, death couldn't stop Him, and 3 days later He came back to life. All of this is why Jesus is our Savior. By living a perfect life, then dying as a sacrifice for us and coming back to life, Jesus paid that price for us. And that means that now our relationship with God is restored. It's saved. We are saved. Jesus is our Savior. Of course, He's only the Savior for those who believe in Him. If you don't believe in Jesus, if you just think this is an interesting story but not real, well, then your relationship with God is still broken. There's still a price that you will have to pay. But for those who believe in Jesus, we have been saved, we can know God, and our lives are changed. Do you believe? If your answer is no, why? What's stopping you from believing? I would genuinely like to hear your reasons why, with no judgment. So if you're game, come and speak to me after tonight, and we'd love to talk with you about that. But if your answer is yes, if you do believe, then what are you doing about it? The shepherds saw that Jesus had been born and then were witnesses. They told everybody about what they had seen and praised God for what He had done. As believers, as people who believe in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we are to do the same thing. We've seen and heard what God has done through Jesus, how He has paid the price and restored our relationship, and so now we are to be witnesses. We're to go and tell everyone about the good news of Jesus, about our Savior, and we're to praise God for all He has done. This Christmas, think about what God has done in Jesus. If you don't believe, I challenge you to think about why and to think about what that means for your life. If you do believe, I challenge you to go and tell people this amazing news. The final words that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of Matthew say this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always till the very end of the age." We are called to go, so why don't you stand and sing with me our final carol for this evening, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." Please stand.